We're continuing today our series on the Ten Commandments, working backwards. So today we're looking at the ninth commandment, which is all about honesty. Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. We live today in a dishonest society. It's what J. John, who wrote the Just Ten series, it's what he calls a society of truth decay. We've all heard things, haven't we? Like, the check's in the post. I was just about to ring you. The questionnaire will only take 2 minutes to complete. We've all seen the adverts. In 10 days, just 10 days, your skin will look younger. And you've probably said, like me, if you believe that, you'll believe anything. All sorts of lies surround us. When I was working, we had a manager who regularly arrived at work about a couple of hours after the rest of us. But we'd get a call almost every morning to say, oh, the traffic on the M8 is terrible. I'm at Hart Hill. Now, did you realise that the M8 is in permanent gridlock around Hart Hill services? Because it definitely is, I can tell you. Recently, we've had the Leveson inquiry, which really highlighted how standards in journalism have slipped and how the desire to make a coup has overridden the desire for truth. Somebody at the first service said, you didn't mention politicians. I thought I'd steer clear of politicians. If we examined our own lives, I think perhaps we could all find instances when we've been less than honest, whether it's at work or school or at home. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but does it matter? Here's a little DVD to watch.
I swear by Almighty God
that the evidence I give
will be the truth, the whole truth,
and nothing but the truth.
When is it okay to lie?
It depends. If it's like, if it's really gonna hurt someone and you know that it's for a bad reason or something like that, then yeah, it's bad. But if it's maybe to help someone.
It depends on what type of lie, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, how deep the lie is.
It depends. If it's in what context, if you're telling an outright lie in a deceitful and hurtful way, it's wrong. If you're doing it maybe to protect somebody, then I find that okay. White lies, as long as it's not hurting anybody and causing problems for people, that's fine.
Dave, how do you spot a liar?
Oh, it's easy. It's all in the eyes and no eye contact, blinking a lot.
Have a look at the body language. Fidgeting a lot and playing with the hair.
Then changing the subject quickly.
Perspiration.
Classic. Playing with the nose.
Say if someone's at a low point and they, you don't want them to crumble anymore, you can kind of tell a little white lie if they ask your opinion, or just be economical with the truth. So I think that's a nice way of putting it.
I told my wife I bought her a gift in Liverpool.
My latest lie was saying something was all right when it wasn't.
Everybody tells white lies all the time. It's very natural.
I think sometimes to stop like maybe hurting someone or their feelings, yeah. Maybe tell them they look pretty when they don't. That kind of thing I find acceptable, but still technically a lie.
Actually, I just told one right now. My girlfriend was in the top shop buying dresses. Does this look good? Yes, of course, yes.
think as a young person, I told lies. I think a lot of young people tell what we would term as white lies. I mean, all lying is lying. But as I got older, I was an older teenager, I started to use the drugs, started to deal. And I started to lie even more and more to my parents because I wanted to conceal my addiction. I didn't want my family to know that I was actually taking drugs. I didn't want them to know I was drinking alcohol after school. And I tell all kinds of lies to mask over the truth. And I think we all do that sometimes.
Quite a few people at the beginning of that certainly said, it depends. But does it? The ninth commandment doesn't specifically say, do not lie. Although elsewhere in the Jewish books of the law, in Leviticus, it does say, do not lie, do not deceive one another. And it adds a bit to the Exodus version with, do not go about spreading slander among your people. But what we hear in all these versions is that what we say, and whether it's true or not, affects other people. It affects our relationships with one another, and therefore it affects the whole society. When the Jews heard, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, they would know that the results could be serious, because in those days the punishment for so many things was death. So if you witnessed falsely against somebody, you were in effect sentencing them to death. It was serious. But today, testifying in court's a serious business, and we've had a few high-profile casualties recently. But false testimony against your neighbor, against other people, is not just about court cases. J. John highlights three areas in which he thinks false testimony comes. And the first is gossip. It's rather a cozy word, gossip, isn't it? You know, you can imagine people getting together and having a little chat. But gossip is what drives many TV talk shows and magazines and newspapers, peddling gossip and not news, groundless rumours, lots of details but no facts. And gossip tends to grow too. It's a bit like John's talk, you know, like Chinese whispers. By the time it's gone through half a dozen people, it's got all mixed up and it's got perhaps elaborated. And now, of course, it's out on the internet, in social media, and it moves even faster. And it's there, right in your face. And gossip isn't good for people being gossiped about. The second thing he talks about is slander, which is more maliciously trying to discredit somebody. Now, you might think this is seriously beyond you, but just think how people can be discredited just by insinuation. You know, well, she's very good, but, that little word, but. Or you can say, I've heard people say, which then doesn't implicate you. And so false rumours spread. And if you read some of the things on Twitter, well, they're not certainly nothing that I would repeat to you here. Shakespeare's play Othello was all about that. Somebody so affected by slanderous rumours about somebody that he adored, that it drove him to murder. And then he found out the rumours were untrue. And the third thing J. John comes up with is flattery. Now, it is good to show appreciation of people, to encourage them, to boost their self-esteem. But flattery isn't true. And it's usually done not for that person's good, but for something like self-promotion. In Proverbs, it says, a flattering mouth works ruin. Why is it such a normal human thing to be economical with the truth? We seem to do it mainly for selfish reasons, for self-preservation, to avoid trouble. It wasn't a me. I was doing something else. To advance our own interests. I mean, a CV doesn't have to be 100% right, does it? If we're looking after ourselves by being less than truthful, is that not testifying falsely against our neighbour, against other people? Because if we're advancing our own interests, then someone else's interests are going to be affected adversely. Our relations with other people are based on us being able to trust each other, to trust the other's integrity. So how are we as Christians going to ensure that we do tell the truth? How do we put ourselves in order? Probably the first steps to admit that we're not 100% honest. Confess our dishonesty. And then we need to look at what Jesus said. And we're going to read from Matthew chapter 12. You can find this on page 978 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 12, reading from verse 33. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's not mincing his words. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. What comes out of our mouths is what's in our hearts. I don't know if you've ever said, I don't believe I said that. Not realizing that deep down, that's just what you thought, and therefore that's what came out of your mouth. But how do we make sure that our hearts are a store place full of good things so that what comes out of our mouths is good too? John was talking last week about watering the grass to make it greener. It's the same sort of thing. We need to nourish our hearts to make them good and fruitful. If you listen to the beginning of Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. If we're to bear fruit and speak the truth, then we must draw from the living water that's Jesus, our Saviour. He's the one who makes clear to us how to live according to God's law. He's the one who gives us the wisdom to do the right thing. And how we need that wisdom. Honesty means that everything we say must be true. But everything that's true doesn't have to be said. In Ephesians 4, Paul says that as we grow in Christ, we will speak the truth in love. You see, truth spoken in love can be affirmative and encouraging. Truth spoken without love can be damaging, and lies masquerading as the truth even more so. Perhaps you know how it feels to be at the receiving end of harsh words, hurtful words. And that's when we need Jesus too. The Jesus who told us that he was himself the way and the truth and the life. He's truth personified. This is what he says in John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus knows what it's like to have lies told about him, even taking him to the cross. But his victory over evil is the truth of the matter. And belief in that can liberate us from any harm that lies or the truth spoken harshly might have done to us. I wonder if any of you can remember unkind things said to you when you were young, perhaps even at school. School playground is not all about bullies who hurt you physically. And in fact, that damage probably heals quicker than any damage from words. I can still remember something said to me at high school which really hurt, and I never told anybody about it. But today it can be more insidious, with young people being groomed through the internet so that they end up not knowing what's true, not knowing who to believe, not even quite sure who they are themselves. And it can have disastrous consequences. J. John tells a story about a psychiatrist trying to get to the bottom of a woman's problems of unhappiness and lack of self-esteem. And he eventually got her to admit that it all stemmed back to her school days and to one particular day when she'd been compelled to go up and to write on the blackboard, "I am a failure." And then the other girls in her class had been encouraged to go up and write things about her on the board. And you can imagine that some of them were really horrible. And not unsurprisingly, she'd been really devastated by this, and it had blighted her life. The psychiatrist told this woman that he was a Christian, and that because of that, he knew, although she didn't know it, that at the back of that class, there was a man sitting. And when all these girls had finished their writing, he walked up to the board and rubbed everything off it, picked up the chalk and wrote, "I love you." You see, Jesus, the God of love, is the truth that Christians hold on to through all the trials that life throws at them. I was really struck by this story, not just because of the cruelty that can be inflicted on people, and not just because it's a lovely illustration of what Jesus can do in your life, but because it reminded me of an exercise we did at an elders' conference some years ago. We were all sitting around in a circle, and we all had a little index card with our names on. And these were passed round the circle, and as they went, everybody wrote a few words on them, what they thought about that person, something about that person. And eventually you got your little card back. And those cards were full of encouragement and affirmation. They weren't flattery, they were the truth But the truth seen and voiced by the eyes and the mouth of love, Christian love. I don't know how everybody else felt leaving that conference, but I was really invigorated and charged up to be salt in the world. Oh, yes. You see, the truth can be powerful and inspiring, but it must be spoken in love. And sometimes it's best unsaid. If there's anything from your past which still hurts, ask Jesus to get rid of it. He promises, if we believe in him, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And believing in Jesus also brings his help so that we can live as God wants us to day by day. And we do need that help. We need his help not to get drawn into gossip. Not to say, I shouldn't tell you this, because we shouldn't. We need his help to have the courage to stop others gossiping. We need his help as we seek to speak the truth in love. As we seek to know when to keep quiet. As we seek to be people of integrity. We need his help before we speak. Because what we say, once said, can't be unsaid. And that send button, once clicked, can't be unclicked. It's all too easy. One lie leads to another. Martin Luther said that lies were like a rolling snowball, getting bigger all the time. And if you're an Archers fan, there's a really good example on it at the moment of a character who made up a lie as an alibi for an affair that she's having. And then she had to add some more details to it. And she's getting herself all tangled up. And there's more lies and more lies. And it's all going to fall back on her in the end, I think. In the Bible, James knew just how dangerous the tongue can be. No man can tame the tongue, he says. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Think about it. He also says it's like the rudder of a ship. You know, it's tiny in proportion to the whole, but it's steering the whole direction. So our words are steering us towards integrity or away from integrity. And we need Jesus' help to pause before we open our mouths. One thing J. John suggests is that we try the think test. And it's just words to go with each letter. Think before you speak. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I think, is it true or is it kind? Those two together, that would be a good start. Think before you speak or send a message out into cyberspace. Your relationship with your neighbors in God's world depends on it. Your own integrity as a Christian depends on it. And if you want a society where there is mutual respect and trust, then this is one way to start. Just before I stood up, we sang a song, very closely based on Psalm 25. And Psalm 25 has really got an emphasis on the importance of doing the right thing, holding to the truth. So it's a psalm worth reading when you get home. But I've put up two of the verses, and I'd like to invite you just to pray them with me now, if you'd like to. So let's pray. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen. Let's sing. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Our offering will be received during this hymn. Let's stand.